Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Luke's English Podcast. This episode is sponsored by Spoken. Spoken helps international professionals improve their English through messaging platforms like WhatsApp or WeChat on your phone. And with Spoken, you're connected to a native English speaking coach, and you can take lessons anytime you want that focus on the English that you need for real life professional situations to improve your speaking, listening, and comprehension skills. It's like having an English teacher in your pocket, basically. And the guys at Spoken are offering all of you, my listeners, two free lessons and then 20% off all of their courses. To get that discount, go to getspoken.com/LEP, getspoken.com/LEP, or click a Spoken logo on my website. All right, so check it out. So here is a new episode. There is a little bit of swearing in this one, just to let you know in advance. So let's get started properly then. And here is the jingle starting right now. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Luke's English Podcast. How are you doing today? I hope you're having a nice day or night or evening or morning, whatever time of day it is, and whoever you are and whatever it is that you're doing, here's another episode of the podcast for your listening pleasure. I became Sean Connery there for a second. Here's another episode of the podcast for your listening pleasure. This one is going to feature a conversation with my friend Paul Taylor. So it's a kind of an interview with Paul. So that's what you can expect. There is a video for this one. So if you'd like to watch this, you can, and you'll find the video for this one on the page for this episode. You will also find the video on YouTube as well. So you've got the option. You can just listen to this in the normal way, or if you want to actually see it all happening too, you can check it out and just find the video on the page for this episode. All right. Now then, as I said, in this one, you're going to listen to a conversation with Paul Taylor in this one. But before that, I would like to make an announcement. I've got some good news, and I also need your help with something. Okay, so I know what you're thinking now. You're thinking, what's going on, Luke? What's the good news? You're obviously desperate to find out what this is all about. Well, the news is that Luke's English Podcast has been nominated for an award. It's been nominated for another award, which is great. And it's been nominated for the in the British Podcast Awards in the category of the Listener's Choice Award. Okay, the British Podcast Awards, the Listener's Choice Award. So the British Podcast Awards is basically like a big award system, a big set of awards organized in order to promote podcasting in the UK. And it's been set up by several people who work in media and podcasting, people who are very passionate about podcasting and who want to try and sort of bring more attention to podcasting as a medium, and generally to give those people who work in podcasting, who produce podcasts and who love podcasts, to give those people a reason to celebrate and get together, and generally to kind of just promote the medium of podcasting. So in the British Podcasting Awards, there are a few different categories, a number of different categories. One of those categories is called the Listener's Choice Award. And as far as I know, pretty much any podcast can enter that one. As long as there's a kind of British theme, it has to be made in the UK. Now, I contacted the British Podcast Awards after I found I was nominated, I discovered that I was nominated. One of the listeners wrote something on my website in the comment. It was Kat, who is a regular commenter. She told me in the comment section that the podcast had been nominated, which is fantastic. And I thought, but I live in France. I mean, a lot of my content is recorded in the UK. You know, I regularly go back and I do record episodes with my family and stuff in the UK. And obviously, this is Luke's English podcast. It's all about British English, even though I do actually live most of the time in France. So I contacted the British Podcast Awards and I was like, do I qualify for this? Because I actually live in France, but I do a lot of stuff in the UK as well. And I got a response saying, yeah, you're all right. You qualify. We'll let you in. So I'm in. Okay, so that's it. I'm in. I'm nominated. I don't know who nominated me. I've no idea. So if you are the one who somehow put my name forward for the Listener's Choice Award, then thank you very much. The thing is, right, the thing is about this these awards is that it's not just for learning English podcasts. It's not just for podcasts for learners of English. It's like all podcasts in any category at all. And in fact, my competitors in the Listener's Choice Award include some of the most popular podcasts in the UK. These are some of those podcasts that are on the BBC that have really, really big audiences. In fact, many of these are podcasts that I've recommended to you in the past in other episodes of this podcast. So many podcasts. It's like Inception for podcasts, isn't it, this? Podcasts within podcasts. I'm up against some really tough competition, including some of my favourite podcasts that I've recommended to you in the past, including things like Mark Kermode and Simon Mayo's Film Review, The Illusionist podcast by Helen Zaltzman, and others that are really popular and brilliant. So if I'm going to stand a chance of winning this, right, I'm going to need your help, okay? I need you to vote for me. And when I say you, I mean you specifically. You, the one who's actually listening to this right now. I need your help specifically because some of these other podcasts have a really big audience in the UK. Now, I've got a fairly big audience around the world, but I need you to be active. And if I, as I said, if I'm going to stand a chance to win this, I need every single one of you to vote for me, okay? So please do it. Now, I know what you're thinking now. You're thinking, okay, Luke, I'm ready. How do I vote for you? Well, you simply do this. You need to go to BritishPodcastAwards.com/vote. Okay, BritishPodcastAwards.com/vote. That's pretty simple. British, you know how to spell that, right? BRITISH. Podcast, P, that's P for police, PODCAST, okay, awards, AWARDS, .com/ vote, VOTE. Or you can just click the British Podcast Awards image that you'll see on my website in the top right-hand corner under the under my photograph and then the email subscription form. Underneath that, there's a British Podcast Awards picture. You can click that and then it'll take you to the right place. And what you do then is you just go down, just scroll down a little bit and you'll see a search bar and just type Luke's English Podcast, L-U-K-E. To be honest, if you just type L-U-K-E for Luke, it'll come up. And then you just vote for Luke's English Podcast, okay? So you find the page and then search for Luke's English Podcast and then vote. It's actually really simple. It's a lot easier than it sounds. I'm making it sound even more complicated. Just go to the page, search for the podcast, vote for it, and Bob's your uncle, all right? You will need to put an email address in, but that's just because they want to try to prevent multiple votes from the same person, okay? So they won't accept more than one vote per person. That's why they ask you to put your email address in there. They're not going to spam you or anything. They're definitely not going to do that. You can actually win tickets to see the awards ceremony. The awards ceremony is going to be sort of later on this year in a few weeks' time. So, you know, if you vote, you might win tickets to the event as well, which is going to happen in London in King's Cross. So there you go, all right? Now, the voting ends When is the vote? The voting ends on the... As far as I know, it ends on the 14th of April 2017. Midnight on the 14th of April 2017. That's when voting closes. So you've got time, but not that much time. So I suggest that if you're there, if you've got a computer in front of you right now, if you've got your phone, you've got the internet on your phone, just do it now, right? And then you can just tell me, I've done it, Luke. I've voted for you. Good luck. All right? Okay. Because now you might think, well, why should I vote for you? Hopefully you're not thinking that. Hopefully you understand that if I won this, it would be brilliant, right? It would be brilliant for the podcast in general, and it would be just really good for me too, and it would be good for you as well in a way. So every time something like this happens, and I've won a few awards in the past. I won those four Macmillan Dictionary Awards, and I was nominated for a British Council Elton Award, right? Every time that happens, it brings new people to the podcast. It kind of brings new blood to the podcast, essentially. It's really important. It's very healthy for a podcast to get that kind of attention, because it brings new listeners on board, and it generally sort of brings more energy in, more attention. And the more people who listen to this, the better, basically, because that allows me to do things like attract sponsors. And basically, that allows me to continue doing this podcast, and it allows me to do it better. I can devote more time to it, and all that sort of thing. So it's basically a very healthy thing for the podcast to win an award and to get that kind of attention, all right? And that obviously will feed into the episodes and just generally make the thing better and better. Because, you know, if this thing doesn't stay alive, if I'm not getting the right level of support and attention, then ultimately the podcast could die, you know, especially if I decide that I could be spending my time in more productive ways. Anyway, I'm just trying to say to you that it would be very healthy for the podcast to vote. And if this podcast won, it would also make me personally very, very happy too. And that's good, isn't it? Happy me means happy podcast, which hopefully also means happy you. And the world is a slightly better place. It's just a tiny little bit better for everybody. Okay. All right, then. Fine. That's it. I just wanted to tell you about that. Please vote for me in the British Podcast Awards. That's it. Done. Okay, now moving on to this episode of the podcast that you're listening to right now. So in this one, I'm talking to Paul Taylor. Now, you know Paul already, of course you do. If you're a regular listener to this podcast, you know Paul. He's one of the most regular guests that I have on this podcast. And a few days ago, Paul came over to the flat and we sat outside on the terrace to do a podcast together. I thought that I would interview Paul all about his TV show and to find out what's been going on with all of that, because that's quite exciting, really, to follow Paul's story, because we have followed Paul's story. He was on this podcast, you know, a couple of years ago when he was still working at Apple and sort of wondering what to do. He told us about his decision to quit his job at Apple and try and make it in stand-up comedy. And we learnt about how it was difficult for him, especially at the Edinburgh Festival, where he found it really challenging. And we then heard him tell us about how he released that video onto YouTube about La Bise and how it became a big hit and it got millions, got a million views in the first week. And he then told us about how this opened lots of doors for him, and his one-man stand-up comedy show was sold out for months in advance. And we also learned that Canal Plus, the French television station, approached him with the offer of making a TV show, which will also be published on YouTube. We now know, of course, that the show that he's been making with Canal Plus is a success. It's great. And he's on French television every Saturday night now. And he's also on YouTube, and his videos are getting lots of views, and it's brilliant. I expect you know about the show. I mean, we've talked about it on the podcast before. The program is called What the Fuck France? What the Fuck France? That's the name of his TV show. And essentially, in each episode, Paul explores a different aspect of French life or French culture and just kind of makes fun of it, basically, and just asks, what the fuck? Because it's from the point of view of an English person living in France and the culture shock experiences that he has. And, okay, he's making fun of French culture, but at the same time, he's making fun of himself. And he's also celebrating French culture, too. Amber and me are also members of the writing team for the show. So we help Paul to write some of the jokes and some of the sketches that he has in his TV show as well, which is lots of fun. There's Amber and me and Paul and Robert Hayne and a couple of other people as well who are involved in the writing for the show. Okay, so that's kind of just what you need to know about Paul Taylor. So I thought that I would ask for an update, basically, on how all of that's going. So let's catch up with Paul and have a bit of a chat, shall we? And you're about to see and hear that we talked about his writing process for the show, about how the success of the show has changed his life in some ways, about the reactions that he gets from people that he meets, including like people who recognize him in the street because he's kind of a bit famous now, or people who recognize him on public transport, or just what it's like when he meets people in social situations now that he's like a little bit famous. We talk about the differences between performing comedy on video and performing in front of a live audience, which Paul is still doing like at least twice a week. I also ask him about his plans for other projects in the future. And I also asked Paul a few questions which were sent in by listeners to the podcast on the website or on Facebook. Okay, so that's what you're going to get. So let's now not waste any more time. Let's go straight to the interview with Paul right now. In this episode, we were expecting to have both you and Amber.
Yeah.
But Amber couldn't make it, so
she wasn't able to make it.
It's the Paul Taylor special show.
It's the PT comedy special.
That's right.
And
last time, actually, I was hoping to get both of you, and I just got Amber.
Yeah.
We talked about restaurants and stuff.
Oh, nice.
And then this time, no Amber, so it's just you.
So it's just me.
Yeah.
So I'm
going to ask you lots of probing questions about what you're doing these days, right?
Yeah. So that sounds good. Well, this is going to be in place of my podcast, which I stopped doing. It's going to be that, basically.
That's
right.
Sounds
like it. But you're going to ask me more interesting questions than I would have asked myself. So,
yeah, I guess so. I also asked the listeners on Facebook and on my website, with not a lot of time, you know, at the last minute, I asked people to send in a few questions. But they think that it's the Amber's here too. But
oh, okay.
I can still ask you some of the questions that they asked.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, so
participation.
That's right. I wonder as well if some people watching this are like your YouTube fans who watching this. I say watching this, obviously, because it's a YouTube video. I've already said that.
Yeah, I don't know if it would be found in the... maybe.
If I put your name on it and call it like what the fuck France Paul Taylor
Luke's English podcast
at the end, people might discover.
Yeah, maybe.
It. But what on earth,
do that?
What, I wonder what your audience are thinking of this at this moment. They're probably who's this other guy? Yeah. Who is this Luke?
Well, for those of you watching us who are fans of What the Fuck France, Luke is one of the writers, so he helps write the sketches with me and Amber and Robert Hayne, who you've also heard on the podcast, and some French people as well. So he's part of the reason why you're watching it if you're watching from the thing. So welcome.
All right. Okay. Good. That's that done. And so. Right. Now, what I wanted to say to you, right, is that obviously you've been on this podcast lots of times.
Yes.
And I guess you first got on the podcast a few years ago, but then you came on it more regularly, probably about 2 years ago, coming up to two years
ago.
Yeah,
I think so, yeah. It was a period of time where it felt like almost every other week I was on it for a while.
Yeah.
It might have been during the summer. I can't remember. I don't know. It would have been about 2 years ago.
2 or 3 years ago, we were sitting on this terrace, right?
Yeah.
The two of us.
Yeah.
And we were talking about your experiences at the Edinburgh Festival.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that would have been in August, yeah, 2000, 2 years ago, yeah.
Okay.
So a year and a half ago.
All right. But also before that, we talked about some sort of reviews that we'd both received from people who'd seen one of our comedy shows. Do you remember?
Anyway, vaguely.
We did spend some time sitting down here talking about sort of the difficulties that, well, let's start with you, that you'd had doing comedy at the Edinburgh Festival. And now here you are with your own TV show and, you know, people are recognising you in the street and stuff.
Yeah, it's been a crazy year and a half. It's completely unexpected. No idea why it's all happened, but it's all happened in the last year and a half, and it's good. The wave arrived, and I'm just trying to keep the wave alive. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to using a surf. You can tell I don't really surf, but
You're English.
We have surfing in Cornwall.
It's about 10 people in England who surf.
It's about 10 people in England that surf. But yeah, I guess when you're surfing, there's a wave that comes and you ride the wave. Mm-hmm. And then eventually the wave dies and then you go back out and you ride another wave.
Right.
So the first wave is still there. And
right.
So that'll be there until the end of the summer, basically.
Yeah.
The beginning of the summer. And then there'll be the summer, which is when the wave dies. And then between, in those 2 months, I have to go swim back out and find something, another wave.
Okay. All right.
That ended up being an all right analogy, actually.
It worked. It basically worked. Okay. So the wave that's going to end in summer, that's the TV show.
The Fuck France
YouTube
TV
video.
YouTube
YouTube
phenomenon.
Series, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when you've finished doing that, what's the next step? What are you going
to
do?
I don't know. I don't know what's next. I have to. I'm waiting for this one to drop, and then. But in the meantime, you know, I've been on the wave. I've had a look behind me to see where the other wave is.
Yeah.
So I can kind of see where it is, but yeah. I'm not sure. So it might be another TV show. The stand-up show I'm definitely going to be still doing. So that's my priority. Is always the stage, because I prefer it when people can talk to people in real life rather than through audio or video that I don't hear or see their reactions afterwards.
So, for example, the people who are watching this or listening to this, they don't count.
I don't care about any of you because you mean nothing to me.
Only if you see him live, that's where it really counts, apparently.
Yeah.
Do you find that it's do you find it different? Is there a difference between the stuff you do on video and the stuff you're doing live on stage? I mean, is it a different kind of performance?
Yeah, definitely, 100%. Like, it's the thing with doing stage, as you know, what's great is you can think about an idea today, and then tonight we're performing. So you might be like, oh, this funny thing happened to me on, like, in the street today. Let me figure out how I can tell this into a funny story, or make it into a funny story and tell it the same night. And if it's funny, people will laugh. If it's not funny, people won't laugh. And then that's it. Then you know straight away within, 8 hours, if something you've created is funny or not. The difficulty with the What the Fuck series is that, you know, like, we'll sit down, a group of five of us, and I'll be like, right, we're going to talk about skiing.
This, right.
Let's find some funny stuff about skiing, right? And we brainstorm that, and we laugh within each other. It's like, okay, cool, here are some funny ideas. And then we put it in a, you know, I put it on my document, big list. I then write the monologue of the whole show,
mm-hmm.
Probably like a week or two later.
Yeah.
And then I send that script to the producers and the people that validate it all.
Yeah.
Then it gets validated and some of the stuff gets changed. Some of the wording gets changed. Great. Fantastic. Then a couple of weeks later, we have a production meeting to be like, okay, cool. We're all going to wear these costumes. We're going to be in this location, whatever.
Mm.
Then we'll go and film it. Spend 2 days filming the sketch. Then it gets edited. Music gets added to it. Subtitles. Then it gets put online. And then after that, then I can go, okay, it's got X amount of views. Maybe people laughed. Maybe people didn't, because I can't see the people when they're laughing.
Yeah.
So it's like a whole month, basically, from the inception or the creation of the episode to when it actually gets released. And so by that time, you've forgotten whether it's funny or not.
Right. Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Are you reading comments on YouTube?
I'm reading a couple of comments. What I usually do every Saturday at 11:30, 12 is when I post, when the videos get posted on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
Automatically, and then I post it on my social media. And I spend maybe, throughout the first day is when I'll read the comments, just to get the overall view of the first day, and then I just stop because it's too much. And I think if you get especially YouTube comments, they can be very very negative, so I've kind of stopped doing it. I still do it, but I shouldn't, but I, you know. Yeah.
It's easy to get sort of sucked into thinking about YouTube comments too much.
Yeah. You can get really demoralized when people like start saying, yeah, this is shit, it was good at the beginning, now it's terrible, blah blah blah. For this, I mean, there's the equal amount of people being like, oh yeah, it's good, it's, you know, it's great, favorite episode, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's difficult to not be affected by the negative comments.
Yeah, I mean, it's going very, very well, but of course, you know, every now and then you get negative comments. It's just YouTube. People on YouTube don't think that much about what they're writing, and so as a result, you shouldn't think too much about what they've
it's
written either, I guess.
It's a good point.
But for some reason, YouTube, the comments section on YouTube has a culture of being just full of, you know, awfulness. I mean, I've read some YouTube comments threads that are just, like, really depressing.
Yeah.
It's the level of idiocy going on in there. Okay, so that's that. And has it changed your life at all? Now that you've, now that you're fairly well known?
Has it changed my life? Yes and no. Like, it doesn't feel like anything's that different compared to last year. I mean, it does, but it's not like I think big picture wise, no. Like, there's still the same guy who tries to make people laugh, who, you know, likes the same things as before. So nothing's really changed. But yeah, it's changed stuff like, you know, people recognize me a little bit in the streets now. And sometimes in bars and cafes or in the metro and things like that. So it can be, it's a bit more, like I have to be careful now who I give my phone number to. And my, I ordered some food at home from Deliveroo.
Yeah.
Cause it was lunchtime and I couldn't be bothered making any food. So I was like, oh, I'll get some food delivered. And the guy when I opened the door, he's like, oh, I thought it was you. I saw your name and I was like, oh, I'm not sure. It's not going to be him. And it's you. Like, I really love your videos, blah, blah, blah. Now that guy knows where I live. Like, he knows the door that enters into my, the only thing that's private now is it. So that's a little bit worrying. Just the fact that, you know, whatever.
Because he's going to come around and be like, I don't like what you said about French food.
Yeah.
And he's going to hit you in the face with a baseball bat or something.
Yeah, exactly. Or come and steal everything in my house, you know, because he might be like, oh, he's on TV. He must be rich and rob me. Okay. So, yeah, that's it. That is like little tiny changes in behavior.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, it's been cool.
Do you get noticed then? Do people notice you?
Yeah, quite often, yeah. It happens... it's people like our age, you know. It's never really anyone really old or really, really young. Mm-hmm. It's sort of between, I don't know, 20 and 40, the people that come and interrupt me in a restaurant or in a bar or something like that. Or they'll smile at me in the street or in the metro, and I don't know how to react. I don't want to be the guy who's like, oh, you're smiling at me, so you know who I am. So I'm going to smile back and be like, yeah, of course it's me. You recognize me.
Yeah.
So I just tend to, when people look at me and smile, I just kind of like, yeah, okay. And I get more shy than I already am when people recognize me.
Are you shy? Because you don't seem shy on the show.
No, it's just because it's all fake, isn't it? The thing that I found, like, I've always been a really shy person, but then people would be like, oh, Paul, when you worked at Apple, you stood in front of people and gave training sessions, and then in your spare time, you would stand up on stage and try and make people laugh. So how could you possibly be shy? And I've found that it was a type of shyness where it's when it's the expected result for me to stand and speak in front of people, then I'm fine.
Yeah.
But it's when it's not that... It's not like no one's waiting for me in the metro to be like, hey, everyone, my name's Paul Taylor, blah, blah, blah. You know, so I get really shy in real situations. In fake situations, I'm fine. Like if there's a camera put in front of me, like a big film crew with a big boom mic and like 20 people, I'll put on a show because I know that that's what's the expected result. Or if I'm going on stage at a comedy show, same thing. But if it's a house party, I suddenly become this really introverted person because at a house party, you're not necessarily expected to be the one that's doing the show, right?
Yeah, because the rules are different. I know how you feel because, you know, when I'm doing stand-up too, people sometimes say, you know, you've got to be confident to do that. And sort of, not necessarily, because I feel quite shy as well in social situations. But doing a stand-up show is kind of easier in a way because you've got everyone sits down and they look at you and no one's going to interrupt you.
Yeah.
And like when I'm with people, I'm, you know, I don't want to be the one who's doing all the talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd rather just sort of like let other people talk and listen to them.
Totally, yeah.
But the nice thing about doing stand-up is that you've got a microphone and it's expected for you to be doing the talking.
Exactly,
you
know,
it's kind of easier in a way. The rules are far clearer. Whereas in conversations, you've got to do turn-taking and... You got to pretend you're interested in what the person's saying.
Well, and now it's even worse because when I go to house parties now, I've been to a couple of house parties recently where everyone in the house knows me, but I'm still as shy as I always have been. So normally, before all of this, I'd go to a house party and I'd maybe say hello to like the first three or four people in the house, and then just kind of stick to them like glue because I don't want to have to be social. I'm really shy. Now when I do that, I still do the same thing. Like I walk in and say, and now like I'm worried that the people who I'm not really saying hello to are like, oh, now that he's become
arrogant.
This famous guy, he's an annoying, you know, famous person who doesn't care about real people anymore,
so,
which is completely not the case. It's just that I'm too shy to.
You're also just being normal because like, I mean, maybe there's an expectation in people's minds that because they know you from the TV show where you're like, hi, I'm Paul, and and you know, all that stuff that you do, you know, that they expect you to be like that at the party as well, where you're like, hi, I'm Paul, I'm from England, but I live in France.
It would be funny if I walked into every house party and she'd be like, hi, my name's Paul Taylor, I'm English, but I live here in France.
Yeah. And I'm going to get a beer for three reasons.
Me and Addy were joking last night about our wedding, being like, yeah, when Adam, who's doing the ceremony, is like, do you, Paul Taylor, take Adeline Claire George Hoog to be your lawfully wedded wife? I can be like, oh, I'm glad you fucking asked. I'm going to say yes for three reasons.
Because you're getting married, Paul.
We are. We are getting married. We both of us. No. I am getting married in June. Sorry, ladies and men.
Yeah.
I do get quite a lot of attention from the gay community as well.
Do you really?
Yeah. Tweets, just men on Twitter and Facebook, just being like, "Oh, you're really cute. I really like you. Do you want to get married?" And I'm like, oh, "I'm already getting married to a girl." Unfortunately, they're like, never mind. It can always, you know.
Why is that? Is because you're kind of nicely dressed and you're kind of cute?
I've got no idea. I've got no idea why. I think it's because... I've got no idea.
Yeah.
I was just going to say maybe it's because I'm not, you know, I'm not the typical like lad, like, ooh, football, slag, football, you know.
That's the typical lad?
Yeah.
Football.
Gives a pint of beer, go down the pub, shag a bird, you know what I mean?
Have you ever actually heard someone saying... Oi, football. Have you ever heard anyone say that?
No, but basically, you get the proper lads, you know, down in London. Oi, should get for a pint, lads. You got a pint. Fuck the birds. Leave her at home on a Sunday.
Yeah.
On a Sunday. Like, fucking go down the pub, fucking have a pint, and talk about sex. Do you know what I mean?
All right, Paul, where's it going? You all right, mate?
Yeah, mate, it's going fucking wicked. I banged this bird last night.
Oh, yeah.
She was fucking top, son. The only problem was, is that, like, when she got naked, I thought, shit, it's too late now, isn't it? Fucking, let's get... You got some Jaeger bombs? Let me go get some Jaeger bombs,
You know what
mate.
Else, Paul? Football. Yeah, football, mate. Hey.
Football, right. Down a bird. Sure. So, yeah, so I'm because I'm not that type of person, I think people... I mean, girls as well, they're like, oh, okay, he's like a normal guy who might be nice, you know,
yeah.
Rather than be the typical, you know... Well, in France, I get it more like comments that... French men are all a bunch of assholes, like misogynistic, and they just want to have sex with everyone. It's refreshing that I'm just like, hey, cool, how are you? Like, I'm chatting to you, nice looking girl, just because I want to chat rather than being like, oh, should we go down to my place?
So French men can be a little bit more macho and a bit more alpha male,
yeah,
kind of thing, whereas you're not. You're just sort of a bit more.
I guess, and so people find it charming, I guess, which is cool, which is very nice, men and women, which is, I'd rather have. The female and the gay men on my side than the straight men, because there's more females and gay men combined than just straight men.
Right.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
Why
it's,
not?
It's like, what? I don't know what the percentage is, but yeah, you certainly have...
Well, it's usually 50-50 men and women, right?
Yeah.
But then if you say 10% of the men are gay...
All right.
I'm throwing out a number there.
Yeah,
maybe
it
is 10. Yeah. Then that's 60% of people that I have on my
side. But what about gay women? Are they interested in you?
Ah, that's a good point. That might equal out. Yeah.
It might balance out again in the wrong direction.
Because maybe for gay women, I'm not football-y enough. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
What do gay women like about men? Anything? I mean, I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't even be talking about this.
Yeah, I don't know.
On Luke's English podcast.
Well, I mean, I've got a couple of gay women friends.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's nothing different really about them than.
Yeah,
there's nothing. It doesn't. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
They're not different to other women in terms of their behaviours and stuff like that I noticed anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I mean, if I'm getting messages from both people being like, oh, you're cute. Do you want to get married? Oh, I like you. Should we go for a drink? I'm like, yeah, no, but thanks for the offer.
They're really proposing marriage to you on what? Twitter.
Twitter and Facebook. Yeah, I've got a couple of marriage. Like, oh,
marriage.
Do you, yeah, some guy was like. I can't remember exactly what he said, but he's like, oh, you know, do you want to get married and stuff like that? I'm like, oh, thanks for the offer. I'm already getting married. I dropped the hit. Like, I was like, I'm getting married to my girlfriend that I've been with for 8 years or whatever. He's like, oh, you know, never mind. You know, good. Keep doing what you're doing. I love what you're doing. Blah, blah, blah.
Just make it absolutely certain. Not only am I getting married, I'm getting married to a girl and I've been with her for 8 reasons. So I'm not going to marry you for 3 reasons.
Yeah, well, and on top of it, I like the episode that's coming out on YouTube this Saturday is on the firemen in France.
Oh yeah,
and it's,
yeah.
If gay men weren't interested in me, now they will. Like, it's a bit of a homoerotic thing where I you know, you were there when we wrote the episode. And we were talking about how sexy they are and how hot they are.
To be honest, right? Amber was also there when we wrote that episode.
It was a lot of Amber.
Spent a lot of time talking in great detail about how attractive she finds firemen. Mm. And so a lot of that material has found its way into Paul's episode about firemen in France. And so as a result, the episode is quite sort of homoerotic, you could say. But, you know, also I'm sure that gay men, you know, like the firemen too. Oh, so sure you're appealing to that 60% that you talked about before. Okay. Okay. What's your favourite episode of your show?
Oh, God, that's a good question. Favourite episode? Ooh.
It's like trying to choose a favourite child, isn't it? Are they all your favourites?
Favourite episode. Okay, in terms of the experience of filming, it was definitely the skiing last week. That was a lot of fun. We went up to the mountains and filmed two episodes, one on skiing, one on pharmacies. So that was by far the...
Wait a minute. You went up a mountain and you recorded an episode about skiing, okay, and an episode about pharmacies.
Yeah.
Why, are there lots of pharmacies up the mountain?
No, it's just that we had to combine two episodes. We couldn't go to the... Budget-wise, they wouldn't send us to the mountain just to film one episode. We needed to make the most out of it, so we had to fit it. And the only one that I could really think of that would match was pharmacies, because
in France they have pharmacies everywhere.
They have pharmacies everywhere. So it was. We've got a political one coming up. We've got a French humour, and we wanted like guests for those episodes, and they are all in Paris. So we ended up doing pharmacy. So that was definitely the funnest experience shooting. My favourite one that's. It's a good one. That's a good question. I don't know. I'll come back to you on that.
I like the one about French language.
Yeah, French language is the one that's got the most views because it's French language. It's too easy. Like, it's one of those ones. Like, if we did an episode on French expressions, that would take off. It would be viral. It would work. Cause,
you should.
Yeah, it's already been done though. We might do, but Swan Perry Say did a version on that. There was an advert for TransferWise, a money transferring app, which is very cool. They did an advert on French expressions. Like, I feel like it's one of those, it's like the too easy, you know. Seb Marks did a whole series about the French language. So it's easy, and it's kind of like clickbait, you know. It's like one of those things where I know if we do it, we'll do it well, and it'll probably be one of the best videos that we do. But I feel like it's too easy. Like, I want it to be more challenging. So, yeah.
It's already been done.
Yeah, French language is cool. What one? I don't know. I'm trying to think of one that I like more than the others.
Well, you don't have to choose a favorite. Maybe your favorite hasn't been done yet. Maybe
it hasn't.
It's yet to come. So you've covered like a diverse number of topics.
Yeah.
You've done like food and music and you know, what are all the other ones like? Coffee,
wine. Coffee was good. I liked coffee. That was fun. Coffee, wine. The dubbing in France.
Dubbing. I really like the one about dubbing, because that is true, isn't it? That you know, and I'm sure it's true in many other countries as well, that movies and TV shows that were filmed in English, when they're put on TV in France, they have like another actor, a French actor, doing the dubbing over the top, and it kind of, I understand obviously why they do it, because it helps the audience to understand, but it's got two impacts. One is that it somehow changes the atmosphere of the film. The film's not so good anymore. And secondly, it kind of prevents the audience from really improving their English.
Yeah.
So, you know, you find the countries where they have really good English also show, they also broadcast programs
films, the original,
in the original
films,
version.
Yeah. I think that might have been my favorite one. I mean, it was the first one as well, but it was just an exciting. We've got into a routine now, so the whole process is less exciting and less, what's the word? I guess not dreamlike, but it's less of a like.
So you've gone through the honeymoon period.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's. I mean, we originally had 10. That was it. We got. Commissioned 10 episodes. That was the first slot was 10 episodes. Let's go. So I chose themes that I was like, okay, here are the top 10 themes for me that I think would be funny and I think would work and I already have jokes about. And then we got extended to 15 and then we got extended to 36. So I think, to be honest, after the first five, I was already like not liking the writing process. I was just like, I can't be bothered. I really hate writing so much. Like I love the when we're all together and sitting and throwing out jokes, mm-hmm. but I hate the process of sitting down in front of my computer and actually writing it out word for word, because it's long, it's painful. I hate it, and I still hate it.
The best thing is actually like performing the stuff and getting laughs. I mean, do you prefer doing the videos or prefer
stand up 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I would, if I was given a choice today, tomorrow, whatever, like, oh, you need to do one or the other, it would be stand up. Even though it gets about 5,000 times less visibility than, you know, because each video that we've done on average is probably around about 600,000 views.
Yeah.
Let's say 500,000 views for easy maths. When I do my stand-up show, I perform in front of 100 people. So in order for the same amount of people to see my whole stand-up show, I'd have to do it 5,000 times. But one video gets so... It's a bit of a dilemma, really, where there's... I much prefer doing stage, but I know that the videos help bring people to my show. So it's a kind of... It's not a vicious circle because it's not vicious, but it's kind of like I've got to find balance between both of them.
Okay, all right.
From
the website, Chris Benitez.
Oh, Chris Benitez. Hello, Chris.
He wants to know what you're going to do after this. I don't know. Did we talk about that already?
It's just vague. I am proposing different things to Canal Plus, the same TV people that are producing What the Fuck. Different ideas for different TV shows that would be a little bit longer. You know, not necessarily 3 minutes, but you know, I've talked about the option of doing like a late show, a late night talk show, sort of like Jimmy Fallon. Sort of thing, but a bit different. That's something that I'd like to do. I'd like to do maybe like a documentary series where I go around different countries and ask and figure out their stereotypes, not necessarily in a What the Fuck format, but like, you know, hey, you know, in Spain, we think these are the top three stereotypes that the world has about Spain. You know, they eat late, they have siesta and whatever, you know, I'd ask that. And then I'd go to Spain. I'd meet people there, kind of like a documentary, kind of like An Idiot Abroad. If you've seen the documentary An Idiot Abroad with Ricky Gervais, it's similar in that style. Obviously, I wouldn't be playing an idiot. I'd just be playing myself, but I'd be going around meeting people. And I wouldn't need to play an idiot. I am an idiot. And so, yeah, that's an idea that I've had as well.
That's a great idea. I love that.
Yeah.
That's really good. That it's kind of like a travelogue, like a travel show kind of thing where like here you could start every episode with a little kind of What the Fuck Spain or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, here are the stereotypes and it's all quite light and quite humorous, you know, full of humor and stuff. And then you actually go and then you're meeting people. And
yeah, like I would meet people either like the best thing would be like meeting like personalities from those countries. You know, if I go to Germany, then like, I don't know who's a famous German, like, I don't know, comedian or film person or personality. Germany, like Spain, I'd go and meet Penelope Cruz or something like that.
Yeah.
Somebody that everyone knows, and then I'd be like, all right, cool. Everyone thinks that in Spain, you go to sleep for 2 hours in the afternoon. Is it true? And then I'd go and sleep with Penelope Cruz.
And like, no, I'm still not convinced, Penelope, that I still, you know, just come into the bedroom and show me. Just
you guys go to sleep. So that's kind of the idea. And instead of calling it Stereo Trip, because it's like a trip about stereotypes.
Very good.
And it works really well in French, better than French, like stéréotype, because the word for stereotype in French is stéréotype.
Right.
So stéréotype, whatever.
Right,
that's an idea. Okay. And then, I'm pitching those ideas. We're working a little bit on them,
mm-hmm.
not too hard, because I'm already super busy with this. And then, we'll see what happens. Maybe one of those will happen. Maybe none of them will happen. But definitely the stand-up show is still going to be happening.
Yeah, okay, great. And so you've got the stand-up show also tonight.
Tonight.
What's happening tonight, Paul?
Tonight I'm hosting...
That none of the people who listen to this or watch this, well, I don't know, some of them might be in France, but...
But they would have listened to this after it's happened.
Exactly.
So
you can't come, but you it might come. Happen again, right?
It might happen again. I'm hosting a show, very egotistically, I've called it Paul Taylor's Comedy Night. So it's basically a comedy night where I invite... my friends to come and perform, and it gives me a chance to maybe do some new jokes that I don't do in my 1 hour show, and it gives me a chance to invite people like you
yeah,
to come and do the stage. So Paul Taylor's Comedy Night, and I It was basically to see if people would come to a show with my name on it, which is good because then if that happens, then I can, you know, keep doing it and we can do it more often and then more people can enjoy performing in front of more people.
Yeah, absolutely. Some more comments from the internet.
Yes.
Laura Fisher says, break a leg.
Thanks, Laura.
For the show tonight. And she also says, Paul speaks fluent French.
Yes.
Ask him to pronounce this tongue twister.
In French?
It's a French tongue twister.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to try and say the tongue twister really slowly, and you can say it kind of quickly, all right?
Okay.
You also need to tell me what it means.
Okay.
It's you probably know it already. It's un chasseur sachant chasser sans son chien et un bon chasseur. What does that mean?
I don't know. I didn't get half of it, but I think it's something there. To do with a good hunter that knows how to hunt without his dog is a good hunter. Let me read it. Where is it? Yeah. Un chasseur sachant chasser sans son chien est un bon chasseur. Un chasseur sachant chasser sans son chien est un bon chasseur. Yeah. So a hunter that knows how to hunt without his dog is a good hunter.
Okay. Right. It's true.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess so.
But can you say it really fast?
All right. Un chasseur sachant chasser sans son chien est un bon chasseur. Almost.
Pretty good.
There's too many
un chasseur sachant chasser sans son chien est un bon chasseur.
Yeah. Un chasseur sachant chasser sans son chien est un bon chasseur.
Bloody hell.
It's about as close as I can
get. Didn't take you long to get that one. Actually, I got a comment from someone else. I think his name is Paul. On the website recently.
My name is Paul. I'm Russian, but I listen to Luke's English podcast.
Very good.
For three reasons.
Paul said, hello, Luke. Great that you'll be meeting Paul and Amber. No Amber, though.
Sorry.
Unfortunately. Ask Paul, what's the secret behind speaking with that supersonic speed? I've heard him spitting like 1,000 words per minute. Let him share some tips with us. This will surely be helpful. Love, Paul. So what are your tips for speaking really fast?
My tips for speaking really fast? I don't know.
Do you speak really fast?
I don't get the impression. I mean, in the videos, I guess I do, but that's because we've got a lot of text to fit into not very much time. And a lot of the outtake to me just going, and I mess up the wording because it is fast. Tips for speaking fast. If you want to speak fast, I guess the best thing to do is to repeat phrases.
Mm.
Like that, you know, like tongue twisters or repeat phrases that, and just keep going as quickly as possible. It's a complicated one, really. Or here's a tip. Maybe they listen to your podcast at twice the speed or 1.5 times the speed, and then they try and speak over it at the same time as you.
Right.
Maybe.
Yes, exactly. Shadowing me, so repeating after me, doing it quickly. Practice, I think, is the thing that... As you said, when you're doing your videos, first of all, those videos are edited a little bit so that there are like edits so that it is as quick as possible.
Yeah.
It's very, very carefully edited. And also, you've written the script in advance and you've practiced it. And there are many occasions where you get it wrong, you mess it up and you have to re-record. So the video looks like you're able to speak at 100 miles an hour like Scatman John. Do you remember Scatman John?
No.
I'm the Scatman.
I remember that.
Scatman John.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Just a memory from the night. Something like that. That's one for the people in the 90s. You remember the 90s?
Speaking quickly, I don't know. You've probably got better tips than I do.
I think it's just practice. And, you know, you're able to say these things quickly because you're not making them up off the top of your head.
Yeah.
You're actually reading out a script that you've written in advance and trying to deliver it as fast as possible for the video cameras. And you often make mistakes and those don't end up in the video. So it's kind of like sort of, it's a bit like cheating. He's cheating, basically, Paul.
Yeah.
So if you want to do it like him, what you need to do is get a YouTube series on Canal Plus and write a bunch of sketches and then try and do them in a very limited time period.
The thing that impresses me, I do know what he means though, because in Spain, they speak incredibly quickly. For them, they speak at a normal speed, but for anyone who's foreign, like my Spanish is good, but it's not amazing. And sometimes when I'm in a conversation with a Spanish, but like two Spanish people talking to each other, forget it. It's just, I can't, there's too, it's just too.
No.
You need to speak the language first. I would concentrate on learning the language first to the maximum amount possible. And then work out.
Work it out from there.
Then keep going quicker. It's not a competition. It's not a race. It's not a Formula One race. Calm it down.
Yeah, chill out, Paul. You know, it's like when you... it's like that cliche of what a police officer says when they stop you for speeding. Why the big rush? Hello, sir. Ah, Paul Taylor from What the Fuck France. Why the big rush? Where's the fire? That's what police officers say if they pull you over for speeding.
We had a scene like that in the driving episode where the policeman pulled me over because I was watching my own YouTube videos.
Right.
And he started to fine me. That was funny.
One more point on that. I don't think it's a good idea to speak too quickly anyway. Like in most situations, it's not really good to speak too fast.
No.
Like I can't really think of any situation in which you should be firing off words as quickly as possible. In fact, if anything, to be more effective, you need to slow it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Slow it down, leave some more spaces between the words, and then you end up sounding like
Barack Obama.
Michael Caine or indeed Barack Obama. The thing about Obama is that he starts slow.
Yeah.
In every little thing he says, he starts slow and then he speeds up at the end. So he's like, so, Paul, I don't know, what shall I say?
Read out one of the questions.
And I have another question for you, Paul. Who would win in a fight between a shark and a grizzly bear? Who would win in a fight?
Is that an actual question?
It's a genuine question from someone. I can't read it because it's written in Cyrillic and I can't read Cyrillic. Who would win in a fight between a shark...
What do you mean it's written in Cyrillic?
You know, Russian...
Oh, the name.
Script.
Sorry, I see what you mean, yeah.
The name is written
Anton.
In Russian. Is that Anton? It looks like Anton, but...
H is a... I can't remember now. I used to be able to read Russian.
Really? What? You used to be able to read quickly?
Oh, the Russian joke is back.
Who would win in a fight between a shark and a grizzly bear?
What kind of a question is that?
Well, to be honest, I did a whole episode of the podcast on that question.
Oh, did you?
A few years ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why?
Why not?
Why those two animals that would never meet in real life?
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Because it used to be a thing. There was a book about it and there was like...
Specifically a shark.
Tony Law, he did a stand-up routine about fighting a grizzly bear and a shark. And,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Well, I would say...
It used to be a meme. It's not
right,
anymore.
Okay. Well, probably a shark because he's probably bigger.
Yeah, really?
And he could just swallow the bear whole.
But you see, the thing is that it has to take place on an even playing field. So basically, it takes place in water, in the sky, just...
Well, you shoot both of them into the air, like Dragon Ball Z, and then they fight it out, and then they fall down. Because, I mean, so it has to happen in water, what?
It has to happen in water that is shallow enough for the bear to be able to operate, and deep enough for the shark to be able to swim around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like sort of...
Like a meter
leg high water for the bear or whatever.
Yeah, but then he's going to be slowed down because he's in the water, isn't he?
Yeah.
The bear's legs are not very long.
So the shark just comes in, takes a bite, and that's it.
Game over. Yeah. I don't see how a bear could win that fight.
There you go, Anton, or if that is your name, the shark would win. Okay, then. Got some more questions here somewhere. A question there about Amber's podcast, a question about your project. We've been talking about that. Some others here. All right, here are some more. Finding them here. Okay.
Stupid faces.
Right, Christina Ricciardo would like to know about your first ever performance. Can you remember your first ever comedy gig?
My stand-up gig, yeah.
What happened?
It was in London. And it was downstairs in a pub near Westminster. Mm. And I'd gone with four of my friends because it was an open mic night. So I wanted to go see what an open mic night would be like. Because that was when I started getting into comedy heavily, was my last year of university. And I typed in, well, how do you do stand-up? And the thing was you have to go to an open mic night, not mic. M-I-K-E, but Mike as in microphone.
No, it's not like a guy called Mike. Hi, I'm Mike. And
I'm very open.
You can ask me anything. I'm willing to accept any idea. That's an open mic night, but this is an open microphone
night.
This kind of mic.
Like the microphone is open, and so it's when you've got new acts coming, and so I decided to go for a laugh to see what it would look like or what those kind of nights were like. And one of the guys who got up on stage he seemed like he was about 16. He arrived with his laptop and two speakers that were outside. So imagine him trying to get on stage with a laptop here, and he basically tried to stand up, and he's also got two speakers that he's got. And he was trying to hold them all up, and he'd recorded his face. He'd recorded his actual face so that when he would speak, if you're watching the video of this, you can now see the laptop in front of my face. But he was basically recorded his jokes at home of him on his own. And then his plan was to just put the laptop in front of his face and those jokes would come out, except he didn't have three hands. So he couldn't have the laptop and the two speakers at the same time. And he was shaking. He was like, he was really shaking because he was nervous. And so he ended up not performing. And then my best mate said to me, mate, since he's not doing his 5 minutes, you should go ask the MC if you can do 5 minutes. And I was like, no, I've not prepared anything. Even though I had prepared something just in case. You know, right. I had a routine-ish in my head that I'd been talking about with friends and stuff. He's like, no, you should go ask him. You should go ask him. So I went and asked him. And the guy said, yeah, okay, you can do 5 minutes. And I did a whole routine about the voice of the London Underground and the woman who reads out the things and in a slightly overly sexual way. Yeah. And that was my first ever stand-up thing. I don't really remember how it went. It wasn't awful, but it wasn't good either. It was just people were like, okay, yeah, that might be funny. But I didn't have any personality on stage.
That was the response, like, yeah, okay.
I think so.
That might be funny.
That was the impression that I got. It was like, oh, I did something there, but I had no personality on stage because I had my real personality. And as soon as I stood up, it just all disappeared away. And I just became a very monotone person being like, oh, isn't it funny? Mm. Don't you think how the woman on the underground sounds very sexual? And it was very boring, I think.
Did you do the voice of the woman?
I think I tried to, yeah.
This is Shepherd's Bush.
Yeah, it was specifically around a station in London that's Bank. And she has a particular way of saying it, and she'll be like, the next stop is Bank. Please mind the gap between the train and the platform. Change here for the Northern District, Circle, Waterloo and City lines, and the DLR.
Mm.
And it was my whole thing, because she says the DLR, that was when it's sex, she was like, and the DLR. And I was like, does she say that with every three-letter acronym at home, with a, darling, can you make me a BLT?
And then we're going to watch a DVD.
I work for TFL. My husband works for RBS.
And tonight we'll be watching the BBC.
So that was basically the routine.
Mm.
And then when I came over here, I started doing the routine over here, and then Seb Marks did exactly the same thing but for the Metro in Paris. I was like, oh, well, I guess
you two keep ending up writing the same routines.
Yeah, we've got very similar minds,
very similar stuff going on.
Yeah,
there.
So that was my first experience on stage.
Okay, all right.
And then
have you ever like really really died on stage horribly?
Oh yeah, loads of times.
I mean, not just at the Edinburgh Festival where there was difficult, although I don't know if you died on your arse.
Oh,
there.
Every yeah? day it was really? it was
when was the death. First time you really died on your ass?
The first time, I can't remember the first time. Well, those first open mics that I did in London, I did about 10 of them before I moved to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them really went well. I tried going out. It was St. Patrick's Day, which it almost is now, isn't it? Tomorrow, isn't it?
17th. 17th in a few days.
It was St. Patrick's Day. 2009.
What, St. Patrick's Day, basically, what does that mean?
Oh, it's the Irish national holiday where they all get shit-faced more than they normally do.
shit-faced. Drunk.
So I think I must have... I've got to try and find a photo of this. So I went... I did this comedy night, and for this comedy night, I was like, okay, it's St. Patrick's Day. I do a pretty good Irish accent. So I went on stage trying to pretend that I was Irish, and then halfway through decide to try and switch the accent back to my normal English. It was a complete disaster because I was so nervous. My Irish accent just wasn't very good, you know, because normally I'd be like, hi, my name's Paul, I'm from Belfast, nice to meet you, whatever the thing was. Yeah. And I wore this t-shirt because I bought this t-shirt in Canada when it was
St. Patrick's Day.
And if you're watching the video, you'll see it here. It's a green t-shirt that says Canadiens, because that's the hockey team over there, with a St. Patrick's cloverleaf.
And that's you. Oh my God, look at you.
Yeah, that's what I used to look like.
Look at this, everyone, on the video. It's not Paul's bum, but it's almost as good. That's Paul 11 years ago. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So fresh faced.
Yeah, 9 years ago.
9 years ago. Okay.
So yeah, that was my first death on stage. Okay. I think.
What, and the Irish people were like,
well, there weren't any Irish people.
What are you doing?
You bastard.
You're English.
Get off the stage.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just very awkward. You know, it was that time where you experiment on stage a lot more than you do now. Like, although the most recent time I died on my ass was in a room that holds 2,800 people in
really?
France. It's called the Grand Rex. And it's one of the biggest rooms in France.
You told us about that because last time you were on this podcast when we did the murder mystery detective story.
Did I tell you about that?
That was the day that you were going to go and do that show.
Oh, was it?
You were going to the show after the podcast. And it was like, Paul's doing a show in front of 2,800 people. Wow, brilliant.
Yeah,
so you died
on my ass.
Really?
Yeah. First of all, for many reasons. One, the room was very big. I'd never performed in a room that big. Two, it holds 2,800 people, but there were only 1,000 people there. So basically, it was one third full. And even when we did a show at the Pan Am together, and we were doing our show together, which holds 60, if there was 20 people in there, it's a rough night.
Yeah.
But you just multiply that by 1,000.
Yeah.
To get or whatever. So the room was a third full. So already, if people were laughing, it wasn't going to be loud. Then I didn't get introduced properly. I was opening for another guy. He didn't introduce me. No one introduced me. So basically, the lights were on in the room, and then all of a sudden, my entrance music comes on, and I come out. I'm like, shit. Okay. Well, like 2 minutes before, I'm like, am I going to get announced? He's like, oh, sorry, no, it's not. I'm like, oh, great. I didn't have enough time to prepare my own introduction or whatever. So I just went out cold, basically, without the audience, no claps.
So the audience were all like, blah, 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 having a chat, blah, blah, blah. What are you going to do this evening? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
What should we eat later? Blah. And then suddenly, who's this?
Yeah.
And it's you. Good evening!
And I
everyone's just like, who are you?
Yeah, exactly. And I wasn't experienced enough to get out and try and warm the crowd up and talk to people and I don't know. I don't know how you warm up a room that big. I was doing a 20-minute set, and for the first 12 minutes, I died on my ass. And I can't remember at what stage it was where people started laughing, but the next 8 minutes were okay. They weren't amazing. That was one of those moments where I just thought, why am I doing this? I should quit and go back to my normal job. Like it's really demoralizing. When you die in your ass in front of 15 people, it's okay in like a little bar down the road because it's only 15 people. What's the worst that's going to happen? But when it's that many people, it can be really because you know 1,800 people. Or 1,000 people. That's basically 10 of my shows. So that's like taking the 10 of my shows of the audience size and it's as if 10 of my shows didn't go well in a row. And so it was horrific.
If you ever have like a bad experience like that, I've got a friend called Alex, not Alex Van Walsum, but another friend from London called Alex Love.
Yeah.
And when he has a bad show, when he dies on stage, he has a routine where he goes home.
He cries.
He eats biscuits and he listens to Queen.
Okay.
You know, like Freddie Mercury, Brian May. He listens to Queen and eats biscuits on headphones and just sort of like curls up in a ball, curls up like that on his sofa, eating biscuits and listening to Queen and just sort of like nurses himself back into normality again. Do you have like a way of dealing with it when it doesn't go well?
No, I don't have a specific way. I just stop talking to people. And then everyone comes up to me like, oh, it wasn't that bad. No, it was good. Shut up. I don't need you to tell me that it was better than it was because I didn't enjoy it and it wasn't good. Yeah. I just need to be left alone. I think the best way is just to get back up on stage and for it to go well again.
Definitely.
And then next time it goes well, you're like, okay, you forget. You basically, you only remember the last time you performed. And so if the last time was good, you feel good. If the last time you performed was terrible, then you will always remember that until you have another good set again.
Mm, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
In my personal experience, that's okay. How I feel.
Okay. I've just got one more question on the website here, and this is from Jack. Hello, Jack. All right. And Jack has written, "Hello, Paul. Hello, Amber." Amber's not here, as we've already said. Did you notice that she's not here? Of course you did. My question is, says Jack, when and where did you first meet King? Now,
at the burger joint.
The Burger King.
Yeah.
Not the Burger King. Jack, when Jack writes on the website quite a lot, and he always calls me King.
Oh, so you're called King Luke?
No, just King.
Just King. You're just King.
It's quite cool, isn't it? It's like, if I met Jack, I'm sure he'd be like, all right, King, how's it going?
Maybe it's you. Maybe you've commented yourself.
Right, calling myself King on my own website. How pathetic would that be? Logging in with the details and then calling myself
What's
King.
What's your email address? King@king.com?
But like, Jack, right, I don't know where he's from, yeah, and I don't know how he speaks, right, but... when I read Jack's comments, yeah.
Do you read it in like a proper
sometimes,
London accent?
Sometimes, right? I read it out in this kind of voice.
Read
it
out.
I read it out in this kind of voice, yeah? So Jack's like, Jack says, my question is, when and where did you first meet King?
King.
And King, please film this episode if possible.
Thanks. With an F.
He's actually written thanks with an F.
So you're right to do it in that accent.
King, please film this episode.
Yeah, blad. What are you talking about, blood?
And then he's like, King, when will this episode be available on the website? I'm badly waiting for one. And I've written, this one will go up in a week or two. This is like this, my serious sort of teacher's voice. I'm going to upload a couple of episodes before that, so hold tight. Unfortunately, Amber can't be with us today, so it's going to be a Paul Taylor special episode. So do you remember when we first met each other?
I was trying to think. I don't know. I think it was at a comedy night.
Yeah.
Either the New York comedy night or the French fried comedy night. I think it was early on at New York comedy night. I tell you what, I bet you we can find it. I bet you find if you're on my first. If I can type in New York comedy night. The New York concrete jungle where dreams are made of.
We definitely met each other at a comedy show.
Yeah, it would have been a comedy show.
Either at the SoGymnas or at the Pan Am Comedy Club. And I think we met each other in around 2013.
January 2013 was the first time I ever got on stage in France.
I actually heard about you before I met you.
Oh, really?
I remember hearing people talking about you. It's like, yeah. They're like, yeah, there's this other English guy on the scene. But to be honest,
really?
He's a bit of a wanker, to be honest. All of them said very mean, nasty things about you.
October.
Amber was like, oh, yeah, there's Paul, but you don't want to meet Paul. No, of course they didn't say anything like that. People were like, oh, have you met Paul? He's English too. You know, people made a point of like mentioning that you were around because you were English as well.
Okay.
It's like, oh, look, you're English. Have you met Paul? He's English as well. You know, like people do that, don't they? They're just because you're from the same country that, oh, you're friends because you're from the same country.
Yeah.
You can't find it,
I'm going to scroll through. I'm just going to scroll through until we get to 2013. But I think, I don't know if you're on the first night. I'm trying to think who performed the first night that I did it. It was the 4th of January 2013 was the first time. But if that would have been, if you'd have heard me, no one would have heard of me before then. Like I never performed.
I don't think I met you then. I think I met you at some point. To be honest, this doesn't really. This is not that interesting. Watching you do this.
But no one's watching us anyway.
Or listening to your thumb.
Well, it's fine. No one's listening to my thumb.
Just keep doing that. I'm going to put my microphone to your phone to hear the sound of your thumb swiping up and down.
I don't think you'll be able to hear anything. I'm doing that on purpose now, so you can hear.
Right. Fascinating stuff there. Listening to you scrolling through your phone.
I'm still in 2016, so it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, it was during a comedy night, and I'm trying to think. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, that was basically
2013
comedy show
between January and June 2013 is when we met.
And I think we just sort of hit it off because we're both from England. You know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean? And, fucking hell.
And so, you know, we hit it off because of that. And then I had you on the podcast at some point.
Yeah,
so
that was in December of that year.
Yeah, that's right.
And then that's when I started doing my Taylor's Top Tips in January, thanks to the podcast that we did.
Yeah, basically, you owe all of your success to me.
Yeah, it's true.
Because you came onto the podcast and...
I got famous with your listeners.
Yeah. And then you...
Because of the podcast, I did Taylor's Top Tips, and then that died on its ass, and that no one watched that.
So it's actually nothing to do with
for
me,
about a year, and then I stopped that after a year, and then all the while we were still on stage, and then at some stage we did a show together. We did a half an hour together.
Yeah,
and then we'd made that for about 6 months. It was almost a year.
It was about a year's worth of...
We didn't really change much, did we, in that year? It was just kind of like, yeah, okay, we'll just keep performing.
Yeah. But I think I learnt my material. That's what I did.
Yeah, you learnt.
I can now remember it. Couldn't remember it for 6 months. So I was going up on stage going, right, good evening, everyone. And then having to like come up with it from scratch.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the show tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It's going to be good fun.
Are you going to do any new stuff?
I don't think I'll do new stuff. No. Not really. No. I've got lots of new stuff hanging around, but none of it's been properly tested.
Yeah.
I'm just going to try and do a good set.
We should have a good audience as well. It's 100 people, 100 seater, but it probably maybe 70, 70, 80, which is good.
I'm trying to decide, basically. I've got kind of two sets in mind. The one set is where I do, you know, basically the best 10 minutes from Sorry We're English.
Yeah.
Which is all that stuff about, I'm English and I live in France. Oh, my French isn't very good. Oh,
well, you can hardly, how long have you been here now?
4.5 years.
4.5. It's difficult to get away with that now to be like, yeah, I've been here for 4.5 years and I still don't understand when people say.
Because at that point, the audience are like, God, is he an idiot? What's wrong with him?
I still get that nowadays. Like I get that impression when I'm talking about, yeah, when I first moved here, I had trouble with this, and I'm like, that was over 7 years ago, Paul.
Yeah, but you know, I just don't tell them how long I've been here. I just say I'm from England, a bit like you. I'm from England, but I live in France.
You should go out tonight and be like, hi, my name's Luke. I'm English, but I live here in France. Just as a joke,
just to see what happens.
Just to see if they. Yeah, I mean, no one who's coming might have seen What the Fuck.
I think they will have done.
I think they probably will have done.
If it was 15 people, then yeah.
But since it's 70-odd, I think most of them will have found it.
They're coming to the show because they've seen you, and it's the Paul Taylor Comedy Night, and it's got your face on it, that's why they're coming.
Yeah.
But also, they're going to hopefully...
Well, I think they're also... The only thing that bothers me is that maybe... Because my own show is sold out like 5 weeks in advance. I wonder whether they think it's an extra date that's been added and they're not expecting other people. So they just typed in Paul Taylor stand up or Paul Taylor live, and that's the first thing that comes up, and they go, oh, that's his live show. Maybe.
So whenever anyone else is on stage, they'll be like this.
Boo, get off the stage. We want Paul. No, I think it'll be all right. I think it'll be fun.
I'm either going to do that Sorry We're English material that I've done so many times and that I'm a little bit bored with, or I'm going to do the stuff I like to do the most, really,
which is
talking about movies,
right?
Talking about Taken and Star Wars.
Yeah.
I think that's what I like doing the most, and the BBC stuff,
you've got to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I'll see.
All right
then.
Cool.
Really nice to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me over, and so we're sorry that Amber couldn't be here, but we'll get together. We'll make it happen.
Yeah.
At some stage, but this video thing, I don't know if people if this is
no idea
if this is cool, but if you're watching or listening to this, then enjoy the rest of whatever you're doing for the next couple of minutes after you press pause and hang up the podcast. That's not even a thing, but maybe you've got to go to work now and you've got to deal with that horrible boss. Maybe you're still at work and now you've got to go have lunch with him, and maybe you've just finished your ironing and now you're on to another wash. Maybe you're cooking. Who knows? Whatever you're doing, then enjoy it.
Exactly. Just keep going, keep cleaning, keep traveling, keep moving, folks.
Keep moving.
We'll catch up with you again.
Wasn't there a song? Keep moving.
It was moving. Isn't it Supergrass? Keep on moving. No, no, no.
There's something. There's a lot of songs that probably like keep moving. Like don't stay still, keep moving.
Don't stop moving. Everybody's grooving. Yeah. S Club 7, Paul.
Don't stop moving. Nah. Really?
Yeah, you
don't stop moving. Everybody's grooving. No. Mm-hmm.
That's S Club 7. It's not a good song to refer to.
There's a, I don't know, whatever. Just keep moving.
Keep moving, folks. Thanks for listening and thanks for watching. Speak to you again soon. But for now, goodbye. Bye, 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 bye. Bye. So that was my interview with Paul. And don't forget to visit the website, teacherluke.co.uk, and look for episode number 434 in the archive, because there you can download the audio for this, and also you can see the video if you're looking for it, and you can read some of the text that I read at the beginning of the episode, and also you can see some episodes of Paul's show there. And you can leave messages and comments in the comments section. Thank you very much for listening to another episode of Luke's English Podcast. I expect to have both Amber and Paul back on the podcast soon. The three of us will be reunited. The tangential trio, the pod pals, will be together again. And we're planning on having a bit of fun, answering some questions from listeners, and also playing possibly another game on the podcast. So you can look forward to that. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Speak to you again soon. But for now, it's just time to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.